Welcome. It's Tuned to Yesterday, featuring programs from radio's past. I'm your host, Mark Livonier, and this hour, Crime Stories. Later on, from Candy Matson from 1949. But right now, it's True Detective Mysteries with a story based on a 1935 case called The Black Legion, Secrets Never Told Before. This syndicated broadcast first heard on April 1st, 1937.
And now, here it comes, from the pages of the October True Detective Mysteries, The Black Legion, Secrets Never Told Before, as revealed personally by General Heinrich A. Pickert, Police Commissioner of Detroit. Out of the sinister fog of whispers and the muck of blood and tears comes the truth about the Black Legion. Our story begins in Detroit, Michigan, in October 1935.
It's the last half of the ninth inning of this World Series ball game. Tommy Bridges, pint-sized Detroit pitcher, has just checked the rampaging count.
Oh, gosh, that radio tube's gone again. Goose Goslin will be up in a minute, and I won't be able to listen.
Oh, Charlie, I'm awfully sorry. Can't you get the set to work?
I thought I could, Becky. I spent a dime for this new tube. Second hand. Oh, come on. Oh, now, please stay on.
Well, that dime was for carfare, too.
Did Daddy walk back from the factories today again, Mother?
I'm afraid so, dear.
When Daddy gets a job, can I have my dolly fixed?
You'll have a brand new doll when Daddy gets a job. Hand me those pliers, will you, dear?
Here you are, Daddy.
Thanks. Now, you sit down there and play with your blocks until Daddy fixes his radio.
Yes, Daddy. Is this S, Daddy?
Yes, dear. Yes, that's an S. And that one in your hand now, that's a K.
Oh.
Now, if I can get these tubes switched around, this ought to play now. Let's see. There you are. That's it.
A single by Gosselin, a clean hit by the Goon.
Oh, it's too bad it broke again, Charlie, and you love baseball so much.
What a game, eh, Becky?
Uh-huh.
I'm glad Detroit won. This is a World Series town now. Maybe that'll mean that people will be feeling better and there'll be more jobs.
I pray that you're right.
Mother, can Daddy go for a walk with me in the park now?
Oh, Mary, Daddy's tired, dear. He's been walking all day.
Sure, walk and grow fat. You run along out in the yard, Mary. Daddy will be there in a minute.
We're going for a walk.
How do you feel, dear?
Better since you came home. You always bring me strength to carry on. Sit by me, just a moment.
Sure, dear. Give me your hand.
I was trembling all day until I heard your step outside. I was thinking of how we'd feed another baby.
Sure, I know. I will get along. I'll get a job soon. I heard today National Axle may put on more men. Steel Wheel, too. Will I be down there early tomorrow morning?
Please don't walk down, dear. You must keep strong. Oh, when you're with me, I have hope.
I'll always be with you. We were meant for each other. And our little family was meant to be happy.
But I'm afraid, Charlie. I don't know why, but I am. Don't let anything happen to us, Charlie.
Oh, don't worry, dear. What could ever happen to us?
Mother, can Daddy go with me for our walk now?
Yes, Mary.
Daddy's coming. Gee, what a girl. Now, come on. You stop worrying. Put another potato in the stew for supper. Here, I'll help you.
Ouch.
Come on. What's the matter?
I burned my wrist.
Oh, here, I'll put some butter on it.
Thanks.
Mother!
Oh, you run along, dear. It's nothing. It's only a little burn.
Oh, gee, that's too bad.
I hear Becky Poole burned her hand. Charlie was helping her with the cooking, and she scorched herself. Just the other day,
I hear Charlie Poole burned his wife's arm. They say that while he was...
I heard Charlie Poole branded his wife. Think we'd better have a meeting. Send out the call.
Well, Joe, how do you like that for a high chair, huh?
Not bad, Charlie. I didn't know you could do so much with an old stool and a packing box.
Oh, say, this is the latest thing.
Yeah.
Later on, you see, when the baby grows up, we can take the packing box off and make a scooter out of it.
Swell. Now, what do we do next?
Well, now, let's see. Well, a couple of these floorboards need to be taken up.
Yeah, they're pretty rotten, all right.
Yeah. Oh, gee, I'd like to have everything fixed up when Becky gets home from the hospital.
You see, Joe, we're moving in here because the landlord said he'd give me 3 months free rent if I'd fix the place up.
No, it sure needs fixing. Not a bad break at that.
Oh, boy. It was like manna from the sky. I'm sure glad this winter is over. Gee, a day's work here and another day's work
yeah,
there,
it's
boy.
Been dead, all right. Think you'll get that job down at the Axle Company?
Sure. You know, Joe, they've been talking to me about playing on the factory baseball team.
Catching?
Sure, my old position. And you know, you don't play on the ball team unless you're working.
Yeah, that's a fact. What does Becky say about it?
Oh, I told her at the hospital last night. Oh, gee, was she glad.
I'll bet. Well, Charlie, what's it going to be this time? A boy or another girl?
A boy. And I'm going to make a baseball player out of him.
Fine. Good luck. Well, I'll get these floorboards squared up.
Well, I'll scout around out in the backyard for some lumber.
Daddy! Daddy!
Well, what is it, Mary?
A man here to see Daddy.
Oh, well, you tell him to come in.
Up those steps, mister.
Are you Charlie Poole?
No, Charlie's outside. He'll be right in. Nice spring day.
Is it? I never liked the month of May.
Tough on the calendar.
Well, I get the boards, Joe. I think these will do to patch that floor.
Gentleman here to see you, John.
Oh. How do you do?
Are you Charlie Poole?
Yeah, that's me.
I'm from the National Axle Plant. You see, we're having a baseball party tonight.
Yeah?
Yes, we're going to be measured for suits.
Oh, gee. Gosh, that means I get the job.
Now, if I send a man for you in a couple of hours, can you come?
Well, gee, I was going to see my wife over the hospital. You see, she's
going
to...
Well, look, Charlie, I'll take a message to Becky. She'll understand.
Will you, Joe?
Sure.
Say, that'll help an awful lot.
I can count on you then.
Sure, you bet.
Tonight.
Tonight?
I'll send for you. You'll hear from me.
Fine, thanks very much. Boy, oh boy, put it there, Joe. That means the job.
Say, who is that guy?
I don't know. But he's good news to me.
Well, I don't like that frozen map of his.
Maybe so, but he's Santa Claus to me. Don't you see, Joe? This means steady work for me. You've got to work at the factory before you play on the ball team. Hey, Mary. Mary.
Yes, Daddy?
Oh, come here. Come here, dear. Daddy's got a job. Daddy's got a job.
Oh, Daddy, my daddy.
Congratulations, Mrs. Poole. You have a lovely little girl.
Is she all right, Doctor?
Sound as a dollar.
She's perfect, Mrs. Poole. And just listen to her. Let me see her, please.
Well, all right. Hold her over here, nurse. Pull the blanket back to my head.
Yes, Doctor. Isn't she the cutest nose? See, Mrs. Poole? Oh, my darling. My baby.
I suppose your husband will be ringing all the bells in Detroit soon.
I suppose so. He doesn't know about the baby yet.
Celebrating already?
Oh, no. He's at a baseball meeting. A friend brought the message.
Baseball at this time of night?
Charlie, he's going to play on the baseball team at the factory. That means work. A steady job. I'm so happy. There, there. Oh, my baby. My baby.
The star of the gods.
Come on. I know, but listen, give me a chance, will you? My wife's in the hospital, I tell you. I've got to see her tonight.
Shut up. Get over there under that tree. You too. Well, what you going to do with us, boss?
Colonel,
what?
Keep these two tied up under the black arch. We'll strike when the brigadier arrives.
On to death.
On to death.
On to death.
On to death. On to death.
In the name of our Black Legion, this meeting is open.
On to death.
Lieutenant, before we journey to the Black Arch, we must bring in the new brothers. Are the candidates present for the final rites to our holy order?
Two are present, Brigadier.
And are they blindfolded?
They're blindfolded, Brigadier.
They are ready for initiation into our Black Legion?
On to death. On to death.
They are, Brigadier. They're outside. Shall I bring them in?
Bring them to the sacred rostrum, Lieutenant.
Mm-hmm. Brigadier. Two members for our sacred order.
Names?
George C. Johnson.
Edgar Baldwin.
Where do you live?
2725 Parkside, Detroit.
Can you ride a horse, drive a car, and shoot a rifle?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Will you accept for your roof the sky, your bed the earth, and your reward, death?
Yes, sir.
Will you put this organization above any to which you now belong?
I will.
Yes, sir.
Are you willing to take an order and go to your death, if necessary, to carry it out?
Yes, sir.
Do you believe in white supremacy?
Yes, sir.
Are you properly armed?
Yes, I am.
Would you be willing to sign your name in your own blood?
Yes, I would.
Colonel, these men have signified a desire to cast their fortunes with us. Will you escort the great chaplain to the sacred rostrum so that he may read to them the black oath of our Black Legion?
On to death.
I, the great chaplain of this, the Black Legion, am about to give the black oath. Colonels, point your guns at the hearts of the candidates until the oath is administered.
We are ready.
By the powers of light and darkness, good and evil, I pledge and consecrate my heart, brain, and body, and swear to devote all my life to the obedience of my superior. I will show no mercy, but strike with an avenging arm as long as breath remains. Before violating a single clause, I will pray that my soul be given unto torment, that my body be submerged in molten metal forever. In the name of the Black Legion, do you so solemnly swear?
I do swear.
Remove the blindfolds. George C. Johnson, Edgar Baldwin, you have taken the black oath to our Black Legion.
On to death.
And now we must ride to our meeting place, out under the Black Arch. There in the custody of our brothers are two enemies.
On to death. On to death! On
to death! Are they here?
Under the Black Arch.
Their names?
Clarence Washington and Charles Poole.
Bring Washington forward first.
Yes, Brigadier.
Clarence Washington?
Yes, sir.
The Black Legion has brought you here to straighten you out.
Boss, I ain't done nothing. I ain't nearly...
Shut up.
Keep quiet.
You're charged with using foul language to a white man.
I didn't do it, boss. I didn't mean it. I had some corn liquor and that white man hit me. Yes, sir. I didn't mean it, honest. I just...
Shut up. Don't talk. Colonels, have you arrived at a verdict?
Q for Clarence Washington.
Have you decided upon the sentence?
20 lashes by Major Bannerman.
Strip him.
I didn't do nothing, boss. Please don't hit me, please. I didn't...
The lash.
One. Oh. Two. Oh. Three. Oh.
Throw him over there in the ditch. Now bring Charles Poole forward. Charles Poole, you are charged with branding your wife with hot iron.
What? I didn't do anything to my wife. I love my Becky. I wouldn't hurt her.
Shut up. Colonels, have you arrived at a verdict?
Q for Charles Poole.
Have you decided upon the sentence?
Death by Dayton Dean.
I didn't do anything. You've got to believe me. Ask Becky. Ask anybody. I didn't hurt her. I didn't burn her. You're making a mistake.
The Black
please,
Legion.
Please.
The Black Legion never makes a mistake. Q for Charles Poole. You ready, Dean?
Ready. Both guns.
Oh, please don't. Don't. You're making a mistake. I didn't hurt my Becky. Don't shoot me. Don't, please. My wife, my little girl, my baby. Ah!
Did you finish him, Dean?
He's finished, Brigadier. Let's burn him. He burned his wife.
Nah, I'll leave him there.
Well, then I'll give him a few more just for good luck.
Sure.
Darling, there. Don't cry. See, your big sister Mary's here this morning.
Oh, Mother, I think she's beautiful. May I take care of her when she comes home?
Of course, dear. You'll have a real live dolly to look after when we get home from the hospital.
Won't that be fun? Mother?
Yes, dear?
When is Daddy coming to see little sister?
Oh, he'll come soon.
Where can Daddy be?
He may have started to work last night.
Mother, we have such a surprise at home. Daddy has a high chair all ready for the baby.
Oh, really?
And Mother, what do you think?
Mrs. Poole, you'll have to be quiet now.
Do I have to go?
Yes, dear, you wait out in the hall. Mrs. Poole, I'll take the baby back to the nursery now. Come along, Mary.
Goodbye, Mother.
Goodbye, Mary. Take care of Daddy.
I will.
All right, Doctor.
Come in, Sergeant.
Yes, Doctor.
Sergeant. Doctor, what's the trouble?
Now, be calm, Mrs. Poole. Your husband didn't come home last night, and we're just a little worried about him, that's all. Hey, Sergeant?
Sure, he's probably working on an early shift.
Then why are you here?
Just routine, Mrs. Poole.
Where is he? Tell me. Let me see that newspaper. Oh! It's all over the front page. He's dead. He's been murdered. Oh!
Please, Mrs. Poole, let me have that newspaper.
Body found on Gully Road. Riddled by 8 bullets. Oh, Charlie. Charlie. Oh, my baby.
Nurse, quick with a hypo.
Here you are, Doctor.
Inspector? This case is getting tough already.
That's right, Sergeant. I thought it might have been a gang murder at first. But what gang would want to take a man like Charles Poole for a ride?
Yeah, 27 cents in his pocket. A second-hand suit on his back. 8 slugs in his body.
No, 45s, too. A terrible end for a good family man.
Terrible? We're checking on those bullets. Every clue.
We have Barton outside, Inspector.
Bring him in.
Yes, sir. This way, Barton.
Sit down, Barton.
Yes, sir.
Barton, were you with Poole on the night he was murdered?
Yeah, I was helping him fix up his house out on McKinstry Avenue.
What was this baseball meeting he was supposed to attend?
Well, this man came to the house in total, said they were going to be measured for suits.
What's the report on that, Sergeant?
Well, National Axle says they weren't considering Poole for the team. Didn't even know.
Did Poole know this man who came to the house?
No, when he came in, he asked if I was Poole.
Would you know this man if you saw him again?
I sure would. He was tall, had gray hair at the temples. Regular poker face.
Barton, this is 1,000-to-1 shot. We've got to make it. If you ever see that man again, get to a telephone right away and call me up at headquarters. Here's my card.
Sergeant Harbaugh. I will, Sergeant. Charlie Poole was my friend.
There, baby, there. It may be a long time, Mary.
But it has been a long time already. I want him to tell me good night.
Go to sleep, darling, and pray for Daddy.
Come on, come on. What are you doing holding up traffic like that?
Officer, that man walking across the street. Arrest him.
Oh, arrest him, is it? And who are you to be ordering the police to make an arrest?
It's about the Poole murder.
Oh, is that so?
Yeah, here's a card Sergeant Harville gave me. He said if I ever saw that man, to get a message to him right away.
Sergeant Harville, eh? Well, come along and we'll see that he gets his man. Is this the man?
That's the man.
Hey, you! You'll have to come along with me.
Eh? What for?
Come on, deadpan, before I sock you.
I resent this intrusion into my rights as a citizen.
Well, resent it at the Fox Precinct Station House.
I'll call Harbaugh's headquarters.
Oh, sure, go ahead. Come along, me sour-looking friend.
Why do you keep me here? I've got a job.
So have we, and this is it.
What did you do with Poole that night?
I never saw the man, I tell you.
You took him to a baseball meeting.
And there was no baseball meeting.
Have you any children?
I have 3 girls.
How does it feel to kill the father of a family?
I killed nobody.
Well, Inspector, she's here.
Who's here?
Never mind. Bring her in, Sergeant.
Yes, sir. Well, this way, please.
This is an outrageous, ridiculous... What is this man doing here?
Mrs. Long, you're Charlie Poole's sister-in-law, are you not?
Yes.
Do you know this man?
Yes. He's Alonzo Sleep.
How long have you known him?
I never really met. He used to come to the house and talk out on the porch with my cousin Harry.
What do they talk about?
I don't know. They always talked in whispers.
Ah, this woman's crazy.
Mrs. Long, you're holding back information.
We're about to arrest the man who killed your brother-in-law.
So you may as well talk now.
Oh, so you found out. Oh, I'm glad. I've been afraid for so long.
Afraid of what?
The Black Legion.
The what?
The Black Legion.
Keep talking.
Well, they wear masks, and they hold meetings in secret places.
And so on the night of May 22nd, 1936, as the wings of death hovered over them, the police of Detroit, after hearing Mrs. Long's amazing story, cast their net with the suddenness of lightning. America in the morning was to gasp and shudder at their grim catch. For from the very depths of the seething sea of crime, they brought human monsters, writhing in an insane lust for power and with blood upon their hands. Struggling in the net of the law were nine men. In the forefront among them was the burly, barrel-chested, hard-eyed...
Dayton Dean. Sure, that's my name.
You're talking for the record now, Dean.
Repeat what you just said.
I said you'll find it out from some of the others you arrested. So I'll tell you myself. I'm the one who killed Charlie Poole.
What did you kill him for?
Well, they said he burned his wife. We can't stand for that.
Who is we?
The Black Legion. That's one of our principles. A man has got to treat his family right.
Yeah, Poole was a good father and a good husband.
Well, all I know is I got my orders to give him Q.
Q? What's that?
Well, that's our code word for punishment.
How did you kill him?
Well, I had two guns, a 38 and a 45.
You brought them with you deliberately, eh?
Yeah, guess what? I'm called a triggerman, that's right.
And you fired both those guns into Charlie Poole?
Yes. I read where they only found the 45 slugs in him. I guess the 38s went wild.
Did anyone order you to kill Poole?
Yeah. Brigadier Sleeper.
Brigadier? Where did he get that title?
Well, you see, we are all organized like an army. We have companies, battalions, and regiments. Sleeper is brigadier of our regiment.
Here is what Commissioner Pickard had to say about the smashing drive the police are making in Detroit. Quote, "The capture of Dayton Dean is only the beginning. I want the public of Michigan to help uproot the entire Black Legion. Men and women who have been terrorized by these sinister night riders can come forward now, no longer afraid, and unburden their tortured hearts of the black secrets they've been forced to shelter. The Black Legion has been entrenched in other states besides Michigan. I want my listeners to tell police of any Black Legion crimes they might have heard about."
Oh, yes. They took my husband out at night and flogged him. He ain't been the same since. Almost out of his mind.
Yeah, I heard they were going to poison the milk in the whole neighborhood. You want to drive out this one milk?
There are 2,100 members of the Black Legion in Flint, Michigan alone, and a woman's auxiliary, too.
Gentlemen of the jury, we have laid before you evidence of 50 murders for which the Black Legion is responsible. The horrible, heartless murder of the innocent Charles Poole was not their first murder, but it must be their last.
You're right, it's going to be their last. We'll get away with this.
No man, woman, or child is safe from the murder-maddened Black Legion. 135,000 members in Michigan alone, and a goal of 6 million throughout the United States, setting family against family, tearing down the stars and stripes, and running up the yellow flag of cowardice. Gentlemen of the jury, the eyes of America are upon you.
There, baby. Mother's here.
Mother, this is the only letter Daddy didn't teach me. What's the letter on this box, Mother?
Q, Mary. That's a Q, dear.
Mother, when Daddy is coming home, when is he coming home to little sister and me? Please tell me.
I wish I could, Mary. Oh, I wish I could.
The story you have just heard is The Black Legion, secrets never told before, as revealed in the October issue of True Detective Mysteries magazine by General Heinrich A. Pickert, Police Commissioner of Detroit, which has been transcribed by Transamerican.
True Detective Mysteries, on Tuned to Yesterday from the 1st of April, 1937.
This is An Hour of Crime on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark LeVonier. Now time for an episode of the Candy Matson series, which had several changes of name, not with the Candy Matson part, but the phone number that would follow it, like Yukon 28209 or Yukon 38309, and this possible audition episode is called Candy Matson Exbrook 29994. So as long as we have that straight, this episode called the Donna Dunham case and was first heard on NBC on April 4th, 1949.
Candy Matson, Exbrook 29994.
Hello, Candy Matson.
I understand you've been hired to find out who knocked off Donna Dunham.
Abrupt and right to the point. That's my business, old man who talks like a ghost.
Take care of your health, little lady. Donna Dunham is dead. Let her stay like that.
You take care of your Q's and I'll show my P's, understood?
Not quite. Listen to this.
Oh, goody, goody. Bullets now delivered by phone. Thanks for the slug. I'll have it identified later.
Maybe you'll be identified later. Remember what I said, Candy Matson. Forget about Donna Dunham.
My name is Candy Matson. I like money, lots of it. That's why I became a private eye. And, too, you meet such interesting people. Mostly dead. But getting back to the cash angle, that's why I took on the Donna Dunham case. I knew it was full of dynamite. But a girl has to eat now and then, maintain a penthouse on Telegraph Hill, and keep the moths out of a few mink coats, doesn't she? Sure. And a shot fired into your room from across the street at 3 a.m. is just one of those occupational hazards. So I took the job and the $500 and went to work. Like to hear how the whole thing started? Well, leave us proceed to Act One. I'd had a hard day at the office, sleeping all day. And I needed a bit of a tonic to pick me up. So the natural thing to do was to ground loop into the marigold room and see what could be done. As I sank down onto one of the padded stools, the dispenser approached. Make it a martini, my good man. Very dry. So dry it comes out like a blotter.
Look, lady, nothing would give me more pleasure, but I can't serve you here unless you have an escort.
What? Oh, I'm waiting for someone.
That's what they all say.
But he'll be here very soon.
I know. It never fails.
Why, you low-minded crock. For 2 cents, I'd knock your...
I arrived just in time. Save your 2 cents, my dear.
Huh?
You heard what the lady said? A martini. Make it two.
Sure. I thought it was just another one of those... two martinis.
Well, saved from a fate worse than death, Miss Matson.
Who are you?
A natural question.
And I'd like a natural answer.
Roberts is my name, Warren Roberts.
Oh.
I own a few steamships hither and yon about the world.
Oh, yes, I know. I took a trip on one of your scows once. The food was a nightmare's nightmare.
How do you think I came to be a millionaire?
I see your point. How did you know my name and what do you want?
I have a business proposition to make to you, Miss Matson.
You're sure it's business, Mr. Roberts?
Strictly business, Miss Matson.
Call me Candy. You tell me the details and I'll tell you what it'll cost you.
Fair enough.
But don't think. You can always make it back on your food.
Well, I can hardly tell you here. Suppose we drop over to my place.
But I want that martini.
My man will make us a batch over there.
The things I do to make a living. Okay, let's go.
Hey, how about these drinks?
Here you are, my man, and save the martinis for some poor wayward soul who hasn't the wherewithal to make the purchase.
Oh, good evening, Mr. Roberts. I didn't know you were expecting company so soon after...
Take Miss Matson's things, Montgomery, and bring us some martinis.
They're all made, sir.
Good. Let's go into the drawing room, shall we?
Mm-hmm. Modest little mousetrap, isn't it? And I'll bet it's had a good path beaten to its door, too.
quite a sense of humor you have, Candy.
Well, it helps now and then.
Here, sit down here. That's it.
I can't quite see you. It's like being behind a retaining wall. Oh, well, I'll just listen. What's the topic of conversation?
A young lady named Donna Dunham.
The female element. What is your connection?
Much strictly that of a patron.
Oh?
Miss Dunham was a hat check girl over at the Scarlet Dawn. I heard her sing one night. I decided right then and there that I was going to sponsor her career.
Was?
Yes. Donna Dunham was murdered early this morning.
By you?
What? Are you out of your head?
Yes, when I think of the fee I'm going to get from you.
I beg your pardon, sir. The martinis.
What? Oh, yes. Put them down there, Montgomery.
Yes, sir.
Very good, Montgomery. I won't need anything else tonight.
Thank you, sir. Good night, miss.
Good night. Don't sleep too tight.
May I?
You certainly may. I've been waiting far too long for one of these.
There you are.
Well, as a sponsor, you didn't pick a protege with great lasting qualities, did you?
No, I didn't. She was so young, so very lovely. Will you take the case, Miss Matson?
What do I have to go on?
Oh, very little. Well, my suspicions point to a musician who worked at the Scarlet Dawn. He seemed to resent very strongly my stepping into the picture.
Were they going to get it?
Off and on, until I started to back Donna's career.
A very interesting triangle. What do the police have to say?
The police, Miss Matson, have not yet been notified.
What?
I went over there this morning and I discovered the body lying on the floor. I became confused. I locked the door and called the Scarlet Dawn. I told the manager that Miss Dunham was quite ill and wouldn't be able to appear tonight.
Extremely ill, I'd say. Well, this is fine. You realize you're in trouble, don't you?
Yes, I do.
And that if I take this case, I'm sticking my neck out, too?
Exactly.
My fee is $500.
That's a fair price.
In advance.
Well, I'll make out a check immediately. Oh, won't you have another martini?
I don't think so.
You know, you are very beautiful.
Thank you. But I already have a sponsor.
And your lips are very, very kissable.
The best you can buy for Max Factors.
Are you sure you don't want another martini?
Look, Roberts, let's get this straight. You're in the middle of a jackpot. Make that check out right now so I can join you. Then it's up to me to spring the both of us. In the meantime, get that glint out of your eye. The one that's wired for wolf calls. Understood?
Very well.
I'll get started right away. Where does the late Miss Dunham live?
Just on the edge of Chinatown. 27B Gresham Alley. It's the only three-flat house on the block.
I'll find it. And you just stick right here and don't poke your face out of the door. Now, the check, if you will. Now listen, you, if you think you're going to get... Well, send me back to the last line in the chorus, if it isn't old Hawkshaw himself.
Yeah, that's right. Hiya, Candy.
Mallard, how you ever got to be a police detective, I'll never know. I heard you trailing me for the last two blocks.
Maybe I wanted you to hear me. What are you doing over in Chinatown, Candy?
I like tomato chow yuck.
Uh-huh. Something up?
Not with you around, there isn't.
Look, Candy, just a little word of caution. We're laying for you.
Oh.
The chief isn't very happy about you busting up that Newton case last month.
Somebody had to. The score was still tied in the 27th inning.
Stop gagging, Candy. What are you doing around here? You don't like tomato chow yuck that much.
Well, maybe that oriental music sends me. By the way, where's the Scarlet Dawn, Mallard?
Right down there on the corner.
Come on. I'll buy you a double Mickey.
No, thanks. I just had one. And listen, Candy, take a tip. Don't interfere with the work of the police.
Don't worry about me, Mallard. And you take a tip, too. Next time you trail somebody, get yourself a pair of tennis shoes.
Yes, miss. You like a table?
No, thanks. No.
Something I can do?
Hmm? Oh. Oh, yes, I'm a friend of Donna Dunham's. She wanted me to come over and tell you that she's feeling better. She'll be back at work tomorrow night.
Oh, that's good. Business at the hot check stand, no good without her.
Yeah. Yes, she's a great girl. By the way, I don't see her boyfriend tonight.
Boyfriend?
You know, the fellow who plays in the band.
Oh, Donny Andrini. No, he got night off.
Oh, too bad. She wanted me to tell him, too.
Yep, too bad. Oh, maybe you'll find him at the Lotus Hotel. He lived there.
Oh, sure. The Lotus. Yes, I'll check there, and thank you very much.
Rembrandt Watson speaking.
Yes, I know. Now, look.
Photographs taken at reasonable prices.
I know, Rembrandt.
Family groups and portraits especially, also...
Rembrandt, this is I, Candy Matson.
Fine colored pictures of... What? Candy Matson?
That's right.
By all the furies of Zeus. Why did you have to call just now? I was wooing the muse that only Bacchus can create, probing the infinitesimal heights a soul can reach from the tear of the grape. And you have to call and spoil it all.
Look, Rembrandt, uncross your eyes and listen to me.
I shall listen, my Lily, but undoubtedly I won't like it. What skullduggery are you up to now?
I'm knee-deep in something that smells as high as the Oakland mudflats.
A towering comparison. What is it?
I can't tell you now, but I want you to do me a favor. Get your finest camera and go over to 27B Gresham Alley. Get inside and take all the pictures you can of the place.
Won't I be intruding?
No. There's a very attractive young lady there.
Oh, how delightful.
She's dead.
How dull. I dislike intensely one-sided conversation. All right. What do I do then?
Go back to your place and get me some prints, fast as you can.
I go, but not willingly. Only for you would I forsake the mood I have achieved through prodigious application.
Bully for you, laddie buck. I'll see you at your place in about an hour.
Pardon me. Are you the night clerk?
I ain't Sitting Bull. Yes, we have no rooms.
I'm not here for a room.
Oh? Well, maybe there's something I can do for you.
Yes. Could you tell me if Mr. Danny Andrini is in?
No, he isn't. As a matter of fact, I haven't seen him all day.
Yes, I know. There's a reason. We had to take him to the hospital this morning.
What?
Yes. He's under observation for appendicitis.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
So, I was wondering if you'd let me have his keys.
Huh?
He wants me to bring him his portable radio.
Does he have one?
Why, sir. Did you ever know a musician who didn't own a portable radio?
Well, I know. Come to think of it, Yeah, here's the key. It's room 418.
Thank you. You're very kind.
Not at all. Not at all.
Candy Matson, start making like a private eye. Letters. Yes, over here. Look, promising. A whole pile of. Well, let's try this one. Dear Danny, I don't know how to start this, but your accusations last night need some sort of answering. I'm not in love with Warren Roberts and never will be. He's just proven to be a very kind and gracious friend. You must realize that I have placed my singing career above everything else, and I want to... Well, leave us confront the issue, Candy. Oh. Hello, you.
Hello. I was wondering if I could be of any assistance.
Oh, no, It seems Mr. Andrini was out of his head.
Uh-huh.
I mean, he doesn't seem to have a portable radio.
Oh.
I'll just be on my way.
Oh, now what's the rush? You don't have to leave right away. Wouldn't you like a drink or something?
No, not right now. I am pressed for time.
Oh.
Senor, so I'll be back later. How's that?
Sure. Fine. When?
Let's make it next Whitsuntide, huh? Goodbye.
On my soul, I'd like to have the popcorn concession here tonight. Come in, come in.
Rembrandt, you're a double-crosser.
I, a double-crosser? Yes. My dear, you're mistaken.
Oh?
The only time I double-crossed was out in the country. I passed over a bridge, then I had to double-cross back.
Oh, no.
I found I'd left my knapsack with some rare vintage in it on the other side.
What are you doing here? You haven't had time to get the pictures I wanted.
That's just the point. To elucidate, I arrived at 27B Gresham Alley and found it to be a most loathsome location.
That's beside the point. What happened?
I couldn't get in.
Oh, Rembrandt, I've done you a grave injustice. Of course you couldn't get in. Warren Roberts has the key.
Who's this minion Roberts?
I'll tell you later. We've got to work fast. Mallard sniffed something in the wrong key, and the police will be in on the deal before long.
Mallard, the gumshoe?
That's right. I've just got to get pictures of the layout so I can study them.
In my own fumbling fashion, Candy, my love, I have given birth to an idea.
Even from you, Rembrandt, I'll take it. I'm grabbing at straws.
Straws. Very effective with a tall, cool Collins.
Never mind now. What's your idea?
Let us hire ourselves to a locksmith. Present ourselves as man and wife, and the peasant will make us a key. Voila! Entree to the Medere's apartment.
No, Rembrandt, that'll never work. Oh, wait a minute. Three flats to the house. I used to live in just that kind of a house out on Fulton Street when I was a kid.
A nauseating thought.
Rembrandt, those flats are identical. If we can get into the flat above, we can get what we want.
I think I fathom your reasoning, Candy. In other words, the living room is just the same.
That's right.
The dining room, likewise.
Check.
And the same goes for the bedroom, the kitchen, and even the,
That's right, even in there.
Well, what are we waiting for? Let's go slumming in Gresham Alley.
Go ahead, Rembrandt. Ring the bell.
Always I must do the labor.
Oh, pooh.
Well, I hope we don't disturb the dead in the middle flat.
You won't. From what I hear, she was done in sort of permanently.
Appears there's no one at home. Come on, Candy. Let's return and see what Bacchus has to offer.
No, wait. I thought I heard something. There, you see? Got all your flash bulbs?
As they say in the old country, have I lost my marbles? Open the door. Beauty before age, my dear.
Thank you, Randy. Of dark in here.
What a peculiar aroma. Definitely smacks of the Far East.
Yes.
Something you folks wanted?
Talk up, Candy. It's your cue.
Why, yes. May we come up?
What do you want?
Well, we're with a magazine. The House Lovely. We want to take a few photographs of your play.
At this hour?
The working press is never shackled by the hands on a clock, sir.
Sounds phony to me. But come on up. What do you want to take pictures of this beat-up joint for?
Well, you see, it's comparison. The old and the new. We've already taken pictures of a flat similar to this, only it's been remodeled. This is perfect for the contrast.
I guess it's all right. Go ahead.
Start with the hall, Rembrandt.
Roger, my pretty. Let's see. This should be just about right.
Mm-hmm. Now the bedroom. That should be off the hall here. Oh, yes. Shoot from the door, Rembrandt. Can you get the entire room?
Not quite, but most of it.
That'll do.
Just a moment. There we are.
You cats work fast.
What was that?
I said you work fast.
Yes. Now, in the bathroom, do you have a tub or a shower?
Why don't you see for yourself?
No. On second thought, I think that's about all we need.
But Candy, you said that we
come
could...
along, Rembrandt, and thank you very much.
That's okay, and don't slam the door. The lady downstairs is sound asleep.
Rembrandt, I think I've got this thing licked.
Are you referring to this case or my desire to return to the arms of Bacchus?
That I could never lick. I'm talking about the case. But I need help, Rembrandt.
I'm here.
No, that's not enough. I need the big, strong arm of the law.
Oh, no. Candy, you traitor.
I hate to admit it, but I need somebody like Mallard.
Am I being paid?
Hmm? Oh, no. It's the wicked genie.
Yikes, it's the gumshoe.
Yep, in person.
Mallard, how did you get here?
I took your advice and bought some tennis shoes. All right, Spill, what goes on? Been following you around till I'm punchy. Start talking, Candy.
Okay, so you heard me. I do need your help, Mallard. Badly. There was a young girl murdered yesterday at 27B Gresham Alley.
Is that the place you just came from?
That's right.
Why don't we ever hear of these things?
Oh, I get exclusive rights. Anyway, I think I have the whole deal figured out. You can have full credit, Mallard, but you've got to take my advice.
It hurts, but go ahead.
Now go back to 27C Gresham Alley. That's the top flat.
Mm-hmm.
You'll find a character there named Danny Andrini. Take him. Then get out to 5711 Pacific Street as fast as you can.
All right, I'll do it. But, Candy, so help me, if this is a foul-up on you, the new look with stripes is going to be very fashionable.
She knows what she's doing, Mallard. When you get back to Gresham Alley, just tell Mr. Andrini that you're from House Lovely. He'll adore you.
It, Rembrandt. I just hope my man Montgomery hasn't retired as yet.
What are we doing out here on Pacific, Candy? This is out of our league.
All of a sudden, I've become socially conscious. Come on, Montgomery, enter the door. Ah, right on cue.
I beg your pardon. Did you ring?
No, Montgomery. We crossed the moat and used a battering ram.
I'm sorry, young lady. Mr. Roberts doesn't wish to be disturbed.
Look, Montgomery, remember me. I was here earlier this evening. Mr. Roberts and I had a martini together.
Martinis? Well, it was worth a safari out here after all.
Oh, I'm sorry, miss. I didn't recognize you at first. Yes, do come in, won't you?
And the light dawned.
If you'll just wait in the drawing room, miss, I'll inform Mr. Roberts of your presence.
Thank you very much, Montgomery.
I used to know a chap like that in the British Army. By continual groveling and studied abjectedness, he worked his way up to the rank of a private.
Thanks, Rembrandt. That's the first laugh I've had tonight.
What's the pitch, Candy? I don't get it.
You will in a minute. I hear the patter of little feet.
Miss Matson, what's the idea? I thought you were going to check with me by phone.
Mr. Roberts, this thing is bigger than either of us. I just couldn't wait.
Is there a martini in the house?
I'll have Montgomery serve in just a moment.
I don't think there'll be time, Mr. Roberts. Well, where is she?
Upstairs.
You really loved her, didn't you?
Madly.
That just about describes it. Madly. And while you were, sponsoring her career, you thought she was playing around with Danny Andrini as well.
Yes, she was.
You're wrong, Robert. I have a letter from Donna Dunham to Danny Andrini. In effect, she told him to blow, skedaddle, vamoose.
What?
That's right. So it seems we have a slight case of mistaken murder on our hands, doesn't it?
Yes. On one hand. On the other, I have two in mind that will be deliberate. You asked for it, Miss Matson. Too bad you had to bring your friend along.
I wouldn't if I were you, Robert.
A blighter has a pistol. I thought you said he served martinis.
This isn't exactly a social moment. I know how you private eyes work, your lone wolves. You confide in no one. So with a pull of the finger, I erase all evidence. Just like this.
He's dead. Oh, I'm really grateful to you, but where on earth did you come from?
Like I say, Candy, you just can't beat these tennis shoes.
Well, that clears everything up except for one thing. Where do we go now for the martinis?
And that's how it happened.
my phone rings and I'm into the darndest message you ever heard of. Sure, Robert killed her. He was jealous. And I knew I was on the right track when Rembrandt said the apartment above Donna Dunham's smelled like the Far East. It was tobacco odor, the same Turkish aroma I had smelled in Robert's home out on Pacific Street. Danny Andrini? Well, he was waiting for Robert to return. He was going to kill him. He knew that Robert had rented the flat above Dunham for sponsoring purposes. Donna was a nice kid. She was just caught in the middle, flat.
Listen again next week, same time, same station. For excitement and for adventure, just dial Candy Matson, X-Brook 29994. The program was written by Monty Masters and stars Natalie Park as Candy. This has been a presentation of NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
Candy Matson, on Tuned to Yesterday, an NBC Possible Audition episode from the 4th of April, 1949. And that brings the curtain down on this hour of crime on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great shows from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for listening.